Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, where you can
join serial dater Phil.
That's me. And dating detoxer Liz.
That's me. Welcome to the world of online dating.
What can you expect in the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast?
Dating do's, don'ts and disasters.
What we and our guests would gladly chuck in the 2020 dating bin to be gone forever.
What real people really think about those tricky dating dilemmas.
Awesome dating trivia. You'll never know when it'll come in handy for that pub quiz.
Top tips and tricks from our awesome guest experts, who luckily know a little more about dating than we do.
So if you've ever had a dating disaster,
ignore the red flag.
If your dating life is unsuccessful and you need just a little bit of TLC,
then you're in the right place. Do we know what we're talking about? No! Our dating lives are both utter shite. So join us as we talk all things dating. The good, the bad, and the... Sorry, there's just no spark.
Hello, lovely listeners. This is just a quick note to tell you that during this episode, we will be discussing some sensitive topics. They include mental health, suicide, and briefly abortion. If you think this is something that might affect you or you don't want to listen, here is your due warning. And there are some resources and links at the end of the show.
So because we didn't feel that we could fit everything into one episode, we created the second episode right here. Hi. Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, and this is part two, dealing with mental health and men being able to talk about their feelings. Hope you enjoy.
Dating disasters.
This segment of the show is called Dating Disasters, because let's face it, we've all had them. Each week, we'll be asking our guests to share their worst dating disaster, and we'll be sharing a dating disaster we've either received or one of our own. Right, so we're at that point in the moment that everybody loves, the dating disasters. Now, Wayne.
Yes.
Go on, what you got? I want to hear this, because I haven't heard about any of your dating disasters ever before, so this is going to be great.
Okay, right, dating disasters. Okay, I honestly don't think I've had a really bad dating scenario, but I have had one embarrassing situation. Going into Corfo in my house when it was about, and I was literally standing in the queue, and this girl turned around, and she was absolutely beautiful. And the only thing that came out of my mouth was, "Oh my God, you are beautiful." She looked at me, gave me the most filthiest look, and walked off. And the guy behind the till just turned around, smiled, and went, "Really smooth that was, mate." And I was like, "Oh my God." I said to her, "Did that really come out of my mouth?" I didn't really mean for it to come out. It's when I was just thinking out loud. And I bet
you wish you used
so
the 7,000 words then, didn't you?
I wish I used 8,000. Nothing would have come out. I was so embarrassed. And like I say, the guy behind the till, he was in stitches. Yeah, called me a smooth operator and everything.
That you are, Wayne. That you are.
That was not one of my best days.
Okay, so now, Phil, I think you've got a dating disaster that was sent in to us, am I right?
I have. This dating disaster was sent in anonymously. Well, I know who it is. I probed a little bit further into it, and I wanted to find out the full ins and outs of this story. So we had a dating disaster sent in, and basically this girl, she was going through dating site, dating app, swiping, whichever, and she matched with this guy. Now, guy was really good looking, really attractive, everything like that. She got chatting with him, and they arranged a date for last Thursday. So that's how close this is. And then, anyway, it came to last week sometime, and he turned around to her and says, "Have you dated anybody that looks like me before?" To which point she pretended all innocently and went, "No, I don't think that I have." Aww. And then he turned around and says, So what about my identical twin brother that you dated last year? Which
no.
Which she knew that he was a twin. She knew it was a twin. And after probing, she turned around and says, yeah, I just wanted to see whether, like, it was based on looks or based on, like, the spark. Because she didn't have the spark with the brother. They didn't kiss or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to see whether the spark was there with that.
And did she have a spark with the second twin?
She didn't go on the date. He cancelled the date because it's bro code. It literally bro code right there. Yeah. It's like, so I've had it before where I swipe right on a girl and the girl's turned around and says, you've been on a date with my friend. Like, not even relation to that. You've been on a date on my friend. I don't think, you know, it's not going to happen. Okay. You know.
But I don't know how to feel about this because I feel like, okay, like if you, you know, made out or had sex or something, then I get it, you know, that would be weird, maybe. But I feel like if you just went on a date, I mean, I feel like when you live in a city, like me and you have already had, we don't know each other before this podcast, right? And we've already had two instances of finding out that we know people. You have chatted to one of my friends. I've been on a date with somebody that you know.
Yep.
Like, it's a pretty small world. And I feel like if you discount anyone who's been on a date with any one of your friends, the pot is getting quite small here.
But an identical twin brother who you knew was a twin.
Yeah, okay. Maybe
and then
maybe
not telling him and playing dumb.
Maybe the identical twin is a bit far.
Too far, I think. But yeah, that's that dating disaster. If you want to send in your dating disasters, which will stay anonymous, like this one has, then, yeah, you can email us. Email us, please, because we get so many DMs at the moment and trying to go for... Look,
which is lovely. We love your DMs.
We love the DMs.
But we don't want your dating disasters to get lost. So send us an email, put dating disaster in the subject, and we'll make sure they get spotted. So it's unhinged.and.bumbledup@gmail.com.
I'm glad you said that, not me.
It just rolled off the tongue, didn't it? I've been practicing.
Amazing.
The people have spoken. Revolution!
This segment is called The People Have Spoken. It's changed slightly. We've asked people on Instagram and our followers what they would do in a certain situation. And here's the answer.
Okay, so in preparation for this week's episode, we actually did a little Instagram poll. You know we love a poll.
Because... I tried not to get my questions wrong this time, but I tried to make it straight to the point.
So it's really important to us to understand what you lot think. And so the first question in the poll was, do you talk about your feelings? So, Bill, what do you reckon the audience said?
Because the majority of our audience are female, I'm going to go, let's go 85% yes.
It actually is lower than that, which I was also surprised about because, as you said, a lot of our followers and listeners are female, but actually only 68% of people said yes, they do talk about their feelings, and a whopping 32% said no, they didn't, which makes me wonder if there's some... variation in the kind of stereotype about women talking about their feelings and men not so.
It's potential. Yeah, it could be a stereotype there that quite a lot of women talk about their feelings, but there are probably still some that feel they can't. So, yeah. So, following that, do you have that person? That person meaning that person that we spoke about in the last episode, who you can talk to? Now, what do you reckon? Bear in mind, most of our listeners are female, but that last one kind of like swayed it.
I'm going to say it's probably quite similar to the last question. I'm going to say like maybe high 60s, maybe 70% said yes, and maybe about 30% no.
75% said yes, and 25% said no. And I actually had a look on this one to see who responded, like male, female kind of. And I think there was about three or four men that said no, and then there was quite a lot of females that said no as well. So, yeah, it's again following that that trend that it seems that there's more people out there that haven't got those people that they can talk to, or they can't talk about their feelings, and we need to get around to the reason why, you know?
Yeah. And I think as well, even sometimes when people do feel that they have a friend that they can talk about their feelings, maybe sometimes there are still some topics that are off
yeah.
the table.
Yeah.
And you can talk to them about some things, but you wouldn't talk to them about everything. And I'm like super fortunate with my best friend that she is just so divine, and I can talk to her about literally, like, I could go into detail about my gynecological issues, but I don't have any. But if I did, you know, and she would not flinch. Like, I could tell this woman any, I could tell her my darkest secrets if I had any. I'm not convinced I do, but and there would just be no judgment. But I do think that there are a certain proportion of people who probably have somebody that they can share most things with, but not everything.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a podcast to let out everything that I need to, so it's fine.
we just overshare here.
Yep, we do indeed. Next question.
Yes. Do you feel that men should talk about their feelings more? And by the way, when we say men, we're talking about anyone who identifies as male.
The male, yes. I'm going to go full on 100% because I feel that everyone should.
Yes, it would seem that both the men and the women who completed the poll all agree that men should talk about their feelings more.
Yeah. Yep. And then final question we asked, do you think the saying men should be men in regards to feelings is correct?
I'm probably going to go with the same as the last question, actually, and say that everybody said no, because I feel like now it's kind of become that sort of stoicism that we expect of men is hopefully now fairly outdated. I'm not sure it actually is, and I think there are a load of ways in which men are still expected to behave in a certain way,
yeah.
for sure. But I think that most people on paper would agree that men should be more open, and there's no expectation.
There's 98% no and 2% yes. Now, Wayne, who everybody's just heard, is that 1%, that 2% that said yes. Now, he explained the reason for this. And this is why I put on the starting bit that all answers will be anonymous apart from those of hosts and guests. He actually explained that the saying of men should be men should be correct, but we should turn it into from a negative to a positive, meaning men should be men and they should talk about their feelings. Men should be men and they should be able to cry. Men should be men and yeah. So
the saying men should be men, it reinforces the stereotype that to be a man means to not cry or talk about your feelings. But what he's saying is that we need to change the definition of expectations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What being a man is. Interesting.
Yes. So that's why he put yes.
Oh, Wayne. Sorry.
Are you okay? We're not editing this out, by the way. We're keeping this in. Liz is just having a coughing fit at the reaction that Wayne put. Are you all right? She's muted a mic, so...
Oh, that was really bad, sorry.
It's fine.
I was trying to say, Wayne, you're so wise, but for some reason, my body just wouldn't let it come out of my mouth. I had a massive coughing fit.
You didn't want to tell him he's wise, but there we go, Wayne. She just told you you're wise.
Facts about dating.
This segment is called Facts About Dating, where we increase our knowledge slightly and learn a little fun fact about dating. We also ask the guest to find a fun fact. So now we reach the part about facts, but we're going to do it slightly different. Like, me and Liz haven't got facts this week, so we're just going to get this really interesting fact from Wayne. So, Wayne, what's this fact that you found out to do with men?
Right, the fact that I've got is pretty much to do with how men can't hold a conversation.
Okay.
So, the research is pretty much that women on average speak 2,000 words a day.
Okay.
In a sense, that is 13,000 more than a man.
What? How exactly. many words a day do they speak?
Women on average speak 20,000 words a day.
Yeah. So men, you say men speak 7,000 words?
Correct. On average a day.
And is there any reason for this, or is they?
Well, yeah, they found in the human brain that there's a FOXP2 protein, which is which they've made basically known it now as the language protein in the brain.
So what does that do? Like, explain more to me, because I'm really interested in this now.
Right. So basically, what happens with this protein that's in your brain? It basically, women have a bigger protein cell,
yeah,
if that's correct, and they get it from a young age. So they did an experiment. So they had between 7 and 10 year old kids, boys and girls. They split them up into rooms, and the boys literally sat in a room, did nothing, and the girls literally was chit chatting away. And what happened is basically the when they did the science on it and everything, they found that the language protein is more active among girls than it is men. So hence, men cannot hold a conversation for very long.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that protein wears through the day, and once you've reached your word count, it's going to slow down massively.
pretty much, yes. So basically, as soon as men get to about 7,000 words, they just start to tire out and don't want to speak anymore. And it's very, very much a one-word answer, because the brain doesn't want to function.
So wait, so by me going on dates at night, I'm more likely
to hold a conversation.
Yeah,
you're less likely to hold a
conversation.
Yes. Jeez.
And
unless you don't speak throughout the day.
Okay. Which with me, as everybody knows, yeah, it's like, nah. You don't. Yeah. I talk and talk and talk and talk. So yeah. That's crazy. So that might explain like awkward silences in conversations, or when people, I wonder whether
So if you put it down into an example, if the guy is going on a date and he just wants to talk about himself a lot, and it's all about him, whatever, what will happen then is after a few moments, or I don't know, when he's reached his limit, we'll say, he will then have nothing else to say, or nothing will probably interest him. So when somebody's talking to him, he will then pretty much stare a blank, because he doesn't really want to pay more of an interest.
Yeah.
So what I would recommend is if going on the date, basically have tennis conversation. So
backwards and forwards.
So if a guy basically say some interesting stuff about himself, and then let the date say some interesting stuff, then you gauge more information about your day, and then the conversation will just flow more and more natural than letting somebody just speak.
Yeah, and as you say, if you're interested, then if it's an interesting topic, you're more likely to talk about it, I'm guessing, and carry it on.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And it gives you fuel for your fire, and you get a better interest and a bit better interaction with each other.
So
ladies, do not let them speak all about themselves.
And make sure you have day dates work best. Do practice dates. See if you can get more conversation, because we are limited to the average of 7,000 words. And this is science that say this.
Yes, it was. The study was at Maryland University and in Oxford University.
See, that's the first time I've heard about this.
And it also comes down to the fact that when guys go to work and they're at work and they're talking with their workmates and stuff, when they come home, they do not want to have a conversation. Well, some guys will have a conversation, but you just did the work, come home, put the feet up and just lounge about.
Yeah.
And you get ums and arms.
Can we increase this? Is there any way, do you know, if you look at that,
they didn't say that there's a way of increasing it. No, it just says that women have 30% more of the protein in their brains than boys do, and than guys do, sorry.
I must be a bit of an exception, because I swear I talk all day, every day to anybody.
So I'm all right, because I don't really work with nobody, so I just literally crack on with it.
And then here you are, ready to carry on talking.
Exactly, because I've not spoken all day.
Amazing.
Final thoughts.
This segment is called Final Thoughts. Basically, we take a look back at the episode and we each pick something that we'll take away from it or something that we have learned. So, we've reached that part of the show where we take a look back at everything we've discussed and we figure out what we're going to take away from it. So, as you are one of my best friends, I'm going to let you go first, Wayne.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, my final thought is it's got to be the impact that the let me think. Okay, my final thought is the man up.
Yeah.
That needs to be it needs to be not men don't cry. It needs to be man up, show your feelings, man up,
be we need to turn that negative into a positive, you know, we need to turn that stigma.
And it's the whole thing around it, man up. It's like when you're falling over on you're a kid and you fall over, man up. No, you know what, if you fall over, you hurt yourself, show your emotions. That's what men need to do. We need to show our emotions, we need to open up, and we would just need to speak more.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, mate. That's definitely 100% how it should be. I mean, my final thoughts are probably that, you know, people need to start educating themselves more. They need to have a look, so if someone reaches out to him and says, like, mate, I'm suffering with my mental health, I've got depression or I've got PTSD or something like that, we've got the internet now, you know, people can look, and like I said earlier, people don't have to be experts. They don't have to be experts. I'm not an expert. I've just experienced it. So I just talk about what I've been through. So, but the more you educate yourself, the more you can learn about what their mental health is, then the more you're in a position to help, you know, and follow some of these charities on Instagram, because they come out with some amazing things. It's like the Depression Project, Samaritans UK. There's plenty more of them out there, but that's a two. And currently they're putting up how to deal with anxiety and how to deal with depression and all these mental health things. They have the distraction polls on as well. So if you are suffering, go onto there, and they've got little polls, like little random questions throughout the day, which help people because it takes the mind away from it, you know. And yeah, but I definitely think that people need to educate themselves better with it. And yeah, open their minds and learn, because knowledge is power.
Of course. And just got to remember, if you sit there and listen, you could literally just save somebody's life just by listening.
Yeah, just by being there, you can save a life. And you know what? And if someone turns around and goes, oh, I'm too busy. Yeah, you won't be too busy when you're attending your friend's funeral because they took their own life. You know, and I think that's the bottom point here, that people often see people that say, I'm suicidal, and go, oh, they're attention seeking, they're this, they're that. As soon as it goes to the fact that they've taken their life, then it's a different story. It's like, oh, I'm really sorry. Why? You have the ability to help, you know, and it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all just to sit and be there for them. And
that's it.
You know, if you're going to be there for them, you know what they're going through, be there for them. And because, like you said, you're saving a life. They're a priority, you know.
And for somebody to come up and say to you, I need to speak to you about something, that is a massive step for them to do that.
And if
somebody, like you said, if somebody turns around and says, I can't deal with this right now, I've talked to you later, I've had a bad day, whatever, then you know what? That person does not deserve your friendship.
No, at all. And if that happens, like I say, there's plenty more people out there. There's charities that you can talk to. There's people that are willing to listen. Like I've said, my inbox is open. You know,
mine too.
I've got my phone on me most of the day. If I'm asleep, then as soon as I wake up, I will reply.
Sleep, Phil. You're a vampire.
Mate, I slept in this morning, but don't tell anyone. So that's amazing. I want to thank you for coming on and
thank you for having
your time and just being here to share your feelings, bro, because that's what it's all about, you know. And
it is.
Yeah, like I say, if ever you need to share anything, I'm here.
Thank you very much, and likewise.
Yeah. So Liz, you've heard or not heard our final thoughts, but I've gave you the rundown. What is your final thoughts on this episode?
So I think for me, there's something really important in not allowing or trying to minimize dating having a negative impact on your mental health, which it can do very, very easily. Because by the nature of dating, you're putting yourself out to potentially experience rejection, frustration, any number of things. And I feel like if you're already in a place where your mental health is not so great, or whether you're struggling, putting yourself in a position where you kind of are a little bit at the mercy of other people and their behavior to a degree is kind of not always that helpful. So I think there's definitely something to be said for taking a break from dating if you feel that you need to restore the balance of your mental wellness. And that's certainly something which contributed to my decision to take my date for a year, is my mental well-being really wasn't that great, culminating in like quite a negative episode. And I realized that in order to protect my own kind of mental equilibrium, if you like, actually I wasn't in a place to be able to deal with other people's shitty behavior or to bounce back when I had a negative experience or something like that. So I think it's really important in terms of thinking about one's own well-being is thinking about what contributes to it. So for me, I know that my environment contributes to it, like where I'm living and my circumstances. I know that my stress levels and the demands that are on me contribute to it. I know that whether I'm eating well and exercising contributing, and these are not the only things. And obviously these do not really so much count if you have a very significant mental health challenge. But for me, I know that those things contribute. And so for me, every decision that I make, I try and look at it through the filter of, is this going to have a positive effect potentially on my mental well-being, a negative effect on my mental well-being, or a neutral effect on my mental well-being? And where there's a risk that something could have a negative impact on my mental well-being, I tend to not enter into it. So I think this is a really long and winding final thought. Sorry, it's more of a stream of consciousness. but I think in terms of your first job in life is always to take care of yourself first and foremost. Yes. And you're the only person who has that job. It's nobody else's job. Mm. And so it's really important to prioritize looking after yourself. And if that means not dating for a while, that's fine. If it means setting very clear boundaries with other people, that's okay. If that means, you know, having to advocate yourself when somebody oversteps the mark and does something which contributes negatively to your mental health, all of these things are necessary and important in your job, which is first and foremost to take good care of yourself.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. 100% agree. And I think that brings us pretty much to the end of the show.
Yeah.
I said bye to Wayne back then. So,
and I haven't seen Wayne during the recording of this episode, so it's weird if I say bye to him. But I would just like to thank Wayne for coming on and talking to us about something which I know is such an important issue. So really grateful to Wayne for popping on. We know that some people will have been affected by issues that we've talked about during the show. We have put some links in our show notes, and also if you head to our website, there'll be a section on with some resources about where to get some help and assistance. There are some great charities that help support people with their mental health, so really encourage people to access the support and resources available.
Yeah, as we've mentioned in this episode, charities like Boys Get Sad Too, who produce hoodies and clothing and donate their certain amount of profits to a charity that deals with mental health in men in particular. And yeah, it's just a message out there that, you know, there's always talk, always there's someone that will listen, whether it's a charity, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member. You know, you don't have to go for it all on your own. And yeah, next week we'll have dating profiles for you. So
we've got a really exciting episode coming up next. We've actually got a double bill with two guests back to back. One where we have a dating coach who works specifically with men, one who is a dating coach who works specifically with women. And you can look forward to fantastic segments like Phil getting his dating profile reviewed.
That wasn't fun at all. I mean, I learned a lot, but
it was so good. So definitely check out the coming episodes where you can see Phil's dating profile getting ripped to pieces. But hopefully it's helped, Phil.
Yeah, it's helped. It's helped. It's got me all these dates that get cancelled last minute.
You said this the other day. You were like, yeah, I'm getting dates, but it's the execution of them that's not quite working out. Yeah, I don't know if anyone can help you with that.
We need a dating expert to actually come on the date with me, stand behind me and go, Phil, you're going wrong there. You're going wrong there. So if anybody wants to like come and help me out, hi.
I think what you're describing is a chaperone.
Maybe. To make sure I don't do any dumb shit.
I'm just gonna come and stand behind you and like beat you on the head with a stick when you do anything mad.
I thought you would have filmed it and then put it onto Instagram so everyone probably. Can like
probably
anyway. On that note, we will speak to you next week.
Great, thanks for listening.
Bye from me.
Bye.
And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, then you can do, whether that's to submit a dating disaster, ask a question, or ask for some advice. We're not that good at helping, but one of our guest experts will certainly be able to. So if you'd like to get in touch, head on over to our socials.
On Facebook and Instagram, it's at Unhinged and Bumbled Up.
On Twitter, it's at Bumbled Up.
Or by email, it's unhinged.and.bumbledup@gmail.com.
If you liked the episode, then please don't forget to like and share and click the follow button above.
We also now have a website, www.unhingedandbumbledup.co.uk. See you all next week.